Good. I was at work today, and we've been having these town hall meetings, which is all of the leaders call in, and they have the owner, the president, the executive team in there, and they usually give us some sort of climate as how the business is doing, you know, what to look for in the upcoming months, weeks, whatever it may be. Well, we had one today, and it was different than the ones that I'm used to having, and the owner came on, and he said basically that he's sold off 35% of the company to a minority partner, which is exciting. He wants to continue to grow, and he feels like this is the step, but there was in that meeting when he said that, and we watched the video, there was a lot of kind of a spirit of confusion. There wasn't, nobody was talking, nobody said anything. Everybody was kind of wondering, well, what's next? What's happening for us? You know, how is this going to affect us? And there are questions that were answered, but there was a lot of the questions that I think weren't asked, and so it left everybody kind of confused. And we went to our leaders and said, well, what does this mean to us? And there was a little bit, I don't know, but it's going to be good. You just have to trust that, you know, this is going to be for the best. But I began to think that, you know, in my life, there's a lot of things that I'm not quite sure about. There's a lot of things that, you know, I get confused pretty easy. You ask Ashley, I do get confused very easily. You turn on any mainstream media, you turn it on and you hear one thing here, and you turn to the next channel, you hear the opposite here, and you might not know what to believe. You might not know what's going on. You might be confused about things, and this world can be a very confusing place, but there's one thing that you want to make sure you're not confused about, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's one thing that you are certain of, that's what you want it to be. You want to know, you know, the world's going to do what the world does. They're going to divide, they're going to drive a wedge, they're going to do what they do because that's what they know how to do. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that you want to know what it is, and you want to know what it can do for you. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Galatians. We'll be in chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And this book is written to counter false gospels. See, this church in Galatia, they're hearing. They had been told by Paul and by other Christians what the true gospel was, but they're starting to be told something else by a group of people, and they're not quite sure what to believe anymore, and this is what's prompting Paul to write them this letter. So Galatians 1, verse 1 starts off by saying, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, I marvel, and this is what he's saying, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we just humbly ask for your spirit to be here. Lord, guide us in the way that we need guiding. Lord, let the conviction be heavy in this room tonight, Lord, so that somebody might hear the true gospel that you present in your word, God, and that you told us, that you tell us in your word, Lord, and that they may act on it so that they too can have eternal life. Lord, I pray that their eyes be open tonight, that their hearts be open, that their minds be open, Lord. And I just pray that you do what you do best, and that's change lives. We love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know if you can see kind of in verses 1 through 4. I imagine Paul, when he's hearing these things, that he runs back to his study, and I picture him writing this quickly. He can't get the ink on the paper fast enough. He's hearing what's happening and hearing how these people are hearing about this new gospel, and he's thinking, oh man, this can't be right. I got to get to them before they do something silly. I got to get to them before they commit to this. I got to get to them before they change for the worse. And so there's a sense of urgency in this letter. In verses 1 through 5, he touches on what the true gospel is. He's reminding them. He's bringing these Galatians back to what the true gospel is, not what they heard. And we'll get into what they heard in a second. But in verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He is reminding these people that the apostleship that Paul has is because of Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He says this title, this calling, this deal that I have, it's not a man-made thing. This position that I have is not from man. Have you forgotten that? This position that I have is through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The reason I'm able to have this apostleship is because a risen Savior has come. And he's making this known to these people, or reminding them that, hey, this is the reason why I can do this. This is the reason for this letter, to remind you of the true gospel in the God that you serve. And he goes on to verse 2 and he says, and all brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. He's saying, all brothers and sisters, if you're a believer in Christ tonight, you have this same deal. It's nothing that is man-made. It's nothing that can be bought. It's nothing that is given by man, but by God himself and the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And he's saying, brothers who are with me. He's talking about a body who are with him in Christ. He's saying to you, you have this same thing. Don't forget it. Don't forget who saved you. Don't forget who pulled you from the pits. Don't forget the God that you serve. Because like I said, they're getting pulled away. Their ears are starting to itch a little bit. They're hearing something new, something fresh. Something that sounds a little bit better perhaps, like we do. We hear gospels, all sorts of gospels today, but there's one true gospel. And Paul is saying, brothers who are with me to the churches, remember this. And he goes on to verse 3, and this is the central theme of the gospel. He says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, guys, this grace and this peace that you have, it comes from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come from what these men are telling you. It doesn't come from this, that, and the other. This grace and this peace that has been bought and is able to be served because of the cross. This is what you need to be paying attention to. Have you forgot? And he moves on and he says, and this is great in verse 4, who gave himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God, our Father. Again, Paul's reminding them what Jesus did for him, what Jesus has done for all the world. John 3:16 tells us that. Yet these people don't, they're not quite sure. They're confused by what they're being told. They're confused. They're not quite sure what they're hearing. You say, well, what are they hearing? What are they hearing? What are they hearing? We'll get there. Hang with me. We'll get there. But he's telling them, guys, you've got to buckle down. You got to buckle down and remember what Jesus done for you. What he continues to do for humanity. What he's done for you and what he's done for me. And Paul is writing this letter fervently and with high urgency to remind them, lest they fall away. Because that's what a false gospel can do. It'll grab you and it'll pull you away from what God's called you to be, what he's called you to do, and you find yourself chasing after what feels good. And you find yourself chasing after tradition. You find yourself chasing after falsehood. And it leads you down a windy road that you probably didn't intend on going so far down in. But he says in verse 5, so because of what Jesus did on the cross, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And that's his greeting. That's his introduction in this letter. He says, don't forget the God that you serve, that was raised from the dead, that died for your sins, that gave up his life for you. He's going to get the glory forever and ever. And so verse 6 is where I want to spend the majority of my time. 6 and on, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So what these people have been hearing, what this church has been hearing, was these people called Judaizers saying, the Gentile believers must be circumcised in order to be saved. They have to go through this tradition in order to be saved. And these this Galatian church is hearing these things, and I don't know if you've ever heard something. You heard something from one person to be the truth, and then somebody else tells you something else, and you're torn on what you believe. Like, I'm pretty sure what this person told me is true, but man, this sounds good. Or maybe it doesn't sound good. In this case, I wouldn't think it would sound good. But he's saying, these people are saying, in order for you to have true salvation, you must be circumcised into this tradition. You must fall into this tradition. You must do what the Jewish Christians are doing and following these traditions, and they're leading people astray. Which led me to a list of false gospels that we hear today. And so needless to say, this church is confused, otherwise Paul would not be writing them this letter. They were torn. Maybe half of them were saying, okay, well, we have to do this tradition in order to be saved. The other half is on the fence about it. Not quite sure. But Paul he's shocked. He's saying, guys, I can't believe that the gospel that I shared with you, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, I can't believe that you're turning away so soon, he says, so quickly to something else, to anything else. Why is that? Well, because they make it sound good. One of the gospels that we hear today is the gospel of religion. If you do religious things, they'll get you into heaven. If you pray, if you go to church, if you read your Bible, take communion, tithe, serve, etc., etc., if you do these things, if you show up in church and you attend church and you tithe and you got baptized and all of these things, you're in good standing with God. Surely that's what God wants, isn't it? All He wants is your attendance. All He wants is your money. All He wants is you to show up and act like you want to be here. That's all He wants. And if you can do that, if you can drag your feet into this building and sit in that pew, that's all God wants. Because, hey, you're here. And then you get to go home and hear a great message. And you get to go home and say, wow, man, God really, I'm surprised that's all He wants. I can't believe it. Yeah, well, neither can I. And that's not all God wants, because that doesn't get you into heaven. But we hear this constantly. Show up. Pray. You know, if you come to church, you're going to be fine. All those things are good things. But none of those get you into heaven. You say, okay, well, I don't fall into that category. I don't show up to church anyways. Maybe you're watching and you say, okay, I don't show up to church. I accidentally stumbled on this. Okay. Moralism is another big one. The gospel of morals. If you're a good person, buddy, you're going to heaven. All you got to do is be a good person. You say your kindness gets you where you want to be. You're fair, you're nice, you're happy, you're giving. Shoot, you even go down to the local animal shelter and sit with the animals 2 days a week. Well, fantastic. You must be the great person. So you're going to heaven. But you've never been told the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think that because you're sitting and doing these things and serving and you're facing the community and you're doing all these things that the world says you should be doing, that's good enough. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight that it's not. If you're not doing godly things and you haven't given your life to Christ, it doesn't matter how good of a person you are. Our goodness amounts to a pile of filthy rags. We're not good. The only reason that we can say that we're somewhat good or righteous is because of what Christ has done in our lives. And if you don't have Christ in your life, you can't say that. The world will agree with you, and it'll sound good, and it'll give you a feel good. Oh, yeah, he's a great person. He coaches Little League. He does this, that, and the other. And then they ask at his funeral, did he ever have a relationship with Jesus? And they say, what are you talking about? And he's been fed a false gospel. And he's believed it his entire life. You say, okay, well, forget about that one. What is another teaching that we hear is prosperity gospel. Health and wealth. God saved you so that you can have everything that you've ever wanted. All you got to do is ask. You give to get. It's God's will for you to have your heart's desire. You say, if you get saved, don't you want that? Don't you want that to get saved so that you can say, I believe in God. Now he's going to give me all the finances I ever needed. The biggest house, the nicest car. All I got to do is show up to church and give a check, and I know that there's blessings that are going to be coming. And we hear this. We see it on TV. We have all of these programs that tell us this. But they never talk about what Jesus did for them on the cross. They never bring up that. They don't need to know about that. All they need to know is just give us money and God will bless you. One easy payment of $50,000 for this Bible or this brooch. Buddy, God will bless you. And they don't even tell about how God truly blesses. They don't talk about Jesus. They don't talk about anything. All they talk about is how you can get yours now and how God wants to bless you. But he does want to bless us. But a lot of times it's not how we think it is, or not what we thought it was going to be. And we let those blessings slide past us because we're looking for the money. We're looking for the cars. We're looking for it. We're not looking for the smile. When you pray for somebody, you're not looking for the kingdom things. We're looking for the worldly things, because that's what this gospel tells us we're going to get, is the monetary values, all the worldly possessions that we could ever want. And they bypass Jesus and they sweep it under the rug. And we believe the false gospel. You say, well, I don't believe the religious gospel, the moral, or the prosperity. Okay, what about this one? The self-help. Have you heard this? God helps those who help themselves. And if you're not willing to help yourself, God's not willing to help you. So you sit in despair. God, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to help. Well, you think God wants to work with a nobody? You think if you can't get out of an addiction, God doesn't want to work with you. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. He wants you to help yourself first before he does anything with you. What kind of gospel is that? Because my Bible tells me the opposite. God will pull you from those things. And if you want to have the best marriage, the best job, the best family, whatever it is, well, you got to fix it. You got to help yourself before God's going to give you anything. And you hold on to it and you say, well, I don't know if that's true. Well, it's not. I'm here to tell you this tonight that's not true. God loves us. God's our biggest fan, but this says we got to do for ourselves. We got to do for ourselves. Are you hearing me? We got to do for ourselves what Jesus already did for us. But we have to somehow do something in the flesh so that God will care about us and that he'll save us? No, sir, no, ma'am. Another one is therapeutic gospel. This one's funny to me. It's try Jesus. Have you, when nothing else is working, have you tried praying? Have you tried? And they make it an experience. You know, go to God when you're in the deepest pits. You know, if you're down and you're in your dumps and go to God in the deepest pits, or go to church to hear a great message. Because that's what church is about, is coming in to hear how great you are. God's down here and man's up here. And have you tried it? And they almost treat Jesus as like an experience. Like riding a roller coaster. Like, yeah, well, when it didn't work for you, hey, at least you tried it, you know. Let's move on to the next thing. Let's see what else there is that might make you feel better. Let's move on to the next God that might make you feel better about the situation that you're in. And they treat Jesus as if he is an experience to be thought about and only gone to when you're depressed or in the highs or in the lows of your life. And they say, well, until you need him, which is always, by the way, but until you need him, don't go to him. Use him as you pull like a speed dial. Use him as a speed dial. When you need him, call him, and he'll be there for you. And they say nothing about how to reach him. They say nothing about how to have a relationship with him. They say just go to him willy-nilly whenever you want and try it out. Folks, you can't try Jesus. You have to live it. You can't try it. He'll pull you out of whatever you're going through, but it can't be a I tried church, I tried Jesus, and it didn't work for me. Well, then you really didn't try it. Because if you tried it, it would have latched. And it would change your life. You say, okay, Phil, well, I'm glad none of those, I checked all those boxes, I'm good on that. Well, I got one more for you. And that's the gospel of you. And this is the one, probably the most, I'd say, the most popular without you even knowing it. He said, what do you mean the gospel of me? I don't care about heaven. I don't care about hell. I don't care about God. All I care about is me. If I believe in me, that's all I need. That's the gospel of me. Gospel of me. I'm going to live all these truths that I can. If it feels good and if it makes me happy, how could it be wrong? And I'm going to live my gospel. I'm going to live my truth. I'm going to live and do everything that I want to do because that's what the world says I should do. And man, we love to use that one. I don't like that because it makes me doesn't make me feel happy. It takes me out of my comfort zone. So I'm not going to do that. I don't want to go to church and hear what the preacher is going to preach on because I don't like church. I'd rather be at home drinking, smoking, whatever. And I don't need any of those things. So I'm going to stay in my bubble and do what I want to do. And I'll tell you what, that's going to get you to hell too. You know, when you think about it, when you're on your deathbed, all of these gospels, while there's some good things in those, a lot of them are half-truths. And they don't tell you the one thing that saves your soul. And that's that Jesus Christ died for you. They're missing the catalyst and what sparks a fire. But so many people, just like this church here, they're looking for the what's next. Yeah, I heard this message before. What's next? Yeah, I've read the Bible. What's next? Yeah, I've done this, that, and the other. What's next? And they're never fulfilled because they never have the love of Christ. And they're always looking, always searching, always weary, looking for the what's next. And I'll tell you what, life's going to end, and the what's next is an eternity in hell if we don't get it right here, right now. And Paul, in verse 8, he does have a warning for these people who preach out a false gospel. And he says in verse 8, but even if we, believers, apostles, pastors, preachers, or angels from heaven preach any other gospel to you, than what we have preached to you, saying what we've already preached, what you already know to be true, let him be accursed. Ouch. So I don't like that. Why would he say that? I'm just trying to make people feel better about themselves and how to get real help. And where, you know, if they're good people and they step on that scale in heaven and the good outweighs the bad, how is that bad? And Paul here has some pretty harsh words to say about it. He says, if you're teaching these things, you're going to be cursed for it. He said, well, why would he do that? Don't we just want to help everybody out? The one thing that can help anybody out, everybody out with any problem that they have is Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. Yeah, you know, worldly things, you can fill it up with alcohol for a while, and that'll get you by for a little bit. Drugs will get you by for a little bit, and then you're on to your what's next. Didn't work this time. Until you come to the realization that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's always going to be a what's next, and it's never going to be fulfilling. And Paul says here, if you hear these things, or not hear, but flee from such things. Don't give them any time. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's going to get you to the next what's next. It's going to leave you in the same position, the same situation that you've been in for so many days, months, or years. It's not worth it. And this is so important that Paul says it again in verse 9. As we have said before, so I now say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. There's a serious notion. If Phil, Jimmy, myself get up here and teach you guys anything else, I hope somebody would call us on it. I hope we would be in and out. I don't believe that's ever going to happen. But man, there's a hefty warning that goes along with it. If you share the gospel with anybody on the street, you need to make sure that you know what it is and what it can do. Otherwise, you have a warning right here, what's to come. In verse 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." He's saying, look, I'm going to preach the true gospel. He says, if I was teaching what these Judaizers are teaching you, he says it in Galatians 5:11. If I was to preach the circumcision and I'm still getting persecuted, how is it true? If I'm preaching what they're saying, if I were to preach what they're saying and I'm still being persecuted, how can this gospel be true? It's not. And he goes back and he says, I'm not here for the applause. I'm not here to make everybody happy. I'm not here to persuade men and to please men. For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. He says those days of doing things for applause and glory, those days are in the past. Those days of persecuting the Christians, like Paul did, he says those days are in the past. Those days of killing and slaughtering those who believed in Christ, those days for him were in the past. He says, no longer do I live for man, but I live for God. And he's given his life over to Christ. He chose to follow God and to stay focused on God. So that leaves us to, we heard a bunch of false gospels. Well, then what, you may be wondering, is the true gospel? If you're saying, if these things aren't good, and I want to make myself clear here, I'm not saying that these things are not good things to have, good things to do if you're a believer, and some of them, pray, read, all of those things, but they don't get you into heaven. So what does? What is the gospel then of Jesus Christ that we've been talking about this entire time? Well, the gospel, it's simple. It's the story of Jesus Christ and what he's done. So what is that? I've never heard that. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, ministered, cast out demons, all of these great things that he did. Perfect in life, perfect in birth, perfect in death. He was led to a cross to take our punishment of sin, death, hell, and the grave on that cross for everybody in the world. He was crucified, he died. He was buried 3 days later. He rose so that we might have eternal life. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, why is it important? Because unlike all of those other things that we listed, that we talked about, unlike all of those, this is the one true thing, the only thing that can save your soul and take you from a mediocre life destined for hell to a great life destined for eternal life with him. I want to share this last thing on what the gospel can do for you. It's meant to change. It's meant to save. It's the end goal. But look over to Galatians chapter 1, verse 21. This is what it can do. This is what it is capable of doing. This is Paul. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. He He's saying, I traveled. He had a couple of stints, and he traveled to see Peter and a few other people. But he's going to this church in Judea, and they didn't know who he was by face. But check this out in verse 23 says, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. You see, the person that you are today, the things that you're wrestling with, the uncertainty or the confusion of what you've heard about God's Word and the Gospel and Jesus Christ and the cross and Christmas and Easter and what you're worried about. If God can take Paul, somebody who was so against the Christian faith, take a man like that who literally killed believers and persecuted them, if God can take somebody like that and change him to where somebody, the church doesn't know him by face, but they heard that he formerly, they knew him as the man who was changed by God, changed by the gospel, changed in a way that only God can change you. And they glorified God in Paul. They're saying, wow, if God can do that for this guy, what can he do for me? Now we come to the place tonight where we've heard the gospel. We understand what it is. We understand why it's here. All we have to do, if you haven't accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, is make a choice. So as we stand and the music plays, it's Christmas time. We're all waiting for gifts under the tree. We're all waiting for to wake up on December 25 and see all of the things that were placed under the tree, but there's been a gift here.